Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mary Blake Show. We work toward understanding the power and meaning of spirituality in our lives and how we integrate it and how it shapes and forms us. And we are so lucky today to have my good friend David Cowdery with us. And he has a very interesting experience with ins and outs of spirituality and how they have affected his life. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you, Mary. It's an honor to be here. Always a pleasure.
Well, what books are you working on right now? I understand you're really always in the process.
Well, I've got a few in the pipeline. I just finished working on my memoirs, which is called Think With Your Heart, and that's temporarily on hold. I'm putting my efforts into my Naughty Nun series, the Sister Mary Olga Fortitude series, and that's about a nun who teaches classes in advanced holiness, but she has a few quirks. She likes her bourbon and her Marlboros, and the Reverend Mother happens to be a Reformed prostitute, and the convent chef is a gay cowboy. It's really a religious and social satire with a spiritual message, because I believe that spirituality is what it's about, and that religion's only good when it serves one's sense of spirituality, and sometimes it doesn't do that.
Very, very true. I believe you started out on a totally non-spiritual path, shall we say. Did you?
Well, it evolved to that. Mm-hmm. I was very spiritually connected as a child. I didn't know what that was about, and the church that I went to did not feed my spirit. You know, it was there was nothing mystical about it. There was nothing that really enhanced my sense of well-being. And as a gay child, or somebody that feared I was gay, I took to heart messages around sin and messages around judgment and fear of damnation. And eventually that caused me to leave the church altogether and to make judgments against all Christians on the basis of some Christians, which was not a correct thing to do, but it's just where I was.
We usually fall into the trap one time or other in our lives, don't we?
Yes, yes. Oh, I labeled myself.
It's easy.
As, oh, yeah. It's very human to judge, and yet I think that our spiritual task is to let go of judgment, because it always comes back on us. The finger, whenever you point a finger at anything or anybody, there are several fingers pointed back at you.
Yes, and you know, I'm afraid that does have to be taught to us, because babies and children are not judgmental. They are enraptured with life and learning and everything that they see and touch. And it's like that song from South Pacific, they have to be carefully taught.
Yes.
And it sounds as if you were one of those victims of the fear training. I call it that, you know, that we are taught to behave because we are afraid of what will happen if we don't, instead of rejoicing with the love and the beauty and the harmony that comes with us when we do good things.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of that. It wasn't totally that, and there was a real dichotomy going on for me that was very confusing. because there were some people in my life that taught me and practiced unconditional love, and I felt very nurtured and a sense of well-being with them. And then there were others that used the fear-based approach. And I was a very sensitive child, and I took that on. You know?
Sure, sure. It happens so often that sometimes you wonder how any of us ever managed to get on in balance and on a smooth path to life. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
But the power of love and the power of spirituality is always there for us. How did you manage to get back to it?
Well, it was a process of evolution. It started when I had an out-of-body experience when I was 25. I had a situation that should have been a fatal car accident, and I can't explain what happened, but I was driving, and I was approaching a curve in the road, and I was going quite fast, probably 50 miles an hour, and there was a line of cars there, and there was a truck at the intersection, and what I couldn't see is there was a car on the other side of the truck with an elderly couple in it, and they pulled out into my path, and there was nowhere for me to go. And the woman raised her hands in terror, and I thought, this is it, at least for them.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, it seemed like I just passed right through them. And then I went out of my body, and I was in communion with Source. And I learned a lot of things. It was almost like a dialogue. It's very hard to put it into words. There are no words to describe it. But when I came out of it, I believed in reincarnation, which I had never believed, nor had I been taught. And so this really whetted my appetite. And I told a friend that I didn't think would judge me about it, and he said, you should see a woman named Shepherd. Well, she happened to be a channeler who taught me about Jane Roberts, who channeled the Seth material.
Mm-hmm.
And so I studied that, and I was able to absorb it all, and it really heightened my state of consciousness and turned me on to what I felt were truths that I'd never been taught before. And so that started me in that direction. The one caveat was that I was headed towards an abyss through years of devastating depressions that were exacerbated by addiction.
So at that point when you could just have succumbed to the negative side of life, a miracle happened, really.
Well, yes. What happened was that I attempted suicide by hanging, and I got out of the noose, and I took an overdose that should have knocked out a horse, but my tolerance to substance, because I was into a phase of alcoholic drinking and medicating with substances, my tolerance was so high that it turned me into a zombie. So I was given a choice of going to the hospital voluntarily or being committed. And as a psychiatric social worker, I did not want to go to the state institution where my clients were. And I came out of there feeling like a zombie on all the drugs they put me on, but I wasn't suicidal anymore. And what I started doing was drinking to medicate what could have been a mania. I had no idea that I had a bipolar disorder. And I drank like fish for several months until my then partner gave me a form of an ultimatum. He left me that I will not return to stop drinking.
Uh-huh.
And That happened, but it happened after I touched the waters one more time. One night, after he'd visited me, and it had come clear to me that I had the understanding at the time that I was alcoholic. I went to the refrigerator to warm up some leftovers, and there was a single beer in there, and I thought, well, one beer is not going to hurt. So I drank it, and then I noticed a bottle of gin on the table, and I made gin and tonics with that. And then, when that was gone, I thought, what am I going to drink next? And I remembered a bottle of tequila that his sister had brought back Mexico, and I didn't like tequila, but I thought it might be tasty with lemonade. So I drank the whole bottle. And during that last drunk, what turned out to be my last drunk, I called my partner's former lover and apologized for what I had perceived as having stolen my partner from him. And he said, you know, I've forgiven you a long time ago. And he mentioned in the course of the conversation that he was an AA. And he asked me if I would like help. And instead of saying, F you, I started crying and said yes. And all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, he got help up here in Syracuse. A couple of people came to my doorstep at 10 o'clock at night, and they took me to the local fellowship hall where several members of AA had stayed behind to be of support to me. And I don't remember anything. They just pumped me full of coffee and talked to me. I don't remember what they said, but I was given a meeting schedule. And the next day, I went to my first meeting. And that was the beginning of my reconnection with a power greater than myself, recognizing that at some level, because of my own addictiveness, I had become addicted to things outside of myself, meaning alcohol and drugs, that I used to self-medicate. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a pretty amazing thing. You must have been guided to call him on some level, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. There are no accidents.
Mm-hmm. There's so many times we rationalize and equivocate ourselves out of the understanding of the real meaning behind what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a master at that.
I
did it for half a lifetime.
In the club.
I did it for half a lifetime. I convinced myself that all I was doing was giving good massages, and I couldn't figure out why nobody else thought to give him a massage. You know, I wasn't healing. I wasn't healing. I just gave a good massage.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, these things, and sometimes I've found that if you resist too much, God kind of whispers in your ear, and then he whispers a little louder, and then he taps on your shoulder, and he gives you a little pat and a little shake. And if you continue to resist and ignore it on every level and with every bit of your being, he just shoves you off the cliff. And that's about what happened to me, you know.
Yeah. I can relate to that. I mean, there is a law of cause and effect in the universe, and there are consequences to every action. And what I've come to learn, and came to learn rather quickly at that stage in my life, which was nearly 30 years ago, was that I am responsible for creating my own reality.
Yep. Yep. And, thank goodness God loves us enough to let us make our mistakes and learn from them.
Right, right. That's exactly what they are. They're opportunities to learn. We don't need to perceive failure as making us a failure or us being stupid. They may be unwise actions that we take that don't serve our well-being, but ultimately it's all for the good as long as we learn the lesson and move on and allow ourselves to become all that we can.
Absolutely. And as you have gone through various stages and learned to appreciate and value yourself and others, how do you practice this very personal kind of spirituality that you enjoy right now? What are you up to lately?
Pardon?
What are you up to lately?
Well, just in a roundabout way to answer the question before I talk about what I'm up to lately, I find that gratitude is the most significant part of my spirituality and staying connected to the present. I count every blessing each step of the way, and I believe it's so important to remain aware, even at a thought level, because thoughts shape our words, our actions. And so it's so important for me to stay connected to a loving spirit instead of letting my ego get in the way and tell me what I should be doing, which is often not what I should be doing. I need to come from a place of love. And so that's how I live my life today. And I enjoy meditating. I enjoy spending time in nature. I surround myself with a loving circle of friends such as yourself, people who feed my spirit. And that may sound selfish, but it's important, I think, for all of us. I believe it's important for all of us to make choices that fill our spirits up, because we can attach ourselves to negativity or positivity, and why would any of us want to stick with people who are toxic to our souls? No.
Yes, indeed. And it's interesting that you mentioned the constant need for nourishment. I think we feed each other and we are fed by each other, and it's that kind of community I believe that really builds a more balanced and solid conviction of the power and the spirit.
I totally agree, because at a core level we are all one. There is no separation except in our own minds. We're each, what I say on my radio show, which I can talk about later, is that we're all unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. It's as if we are all part of this wonderful tapestry that continues to be woven as we all evolve, and therefore God continues to evolve. Or the source of our beings, because there is absolutely no end or no bounds to what we can accomplish or the power, the benevolent power of the universe.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because so often in traditional religion, we're taught that God is out there. And he's judging, and he's condemning, and he's punishing, and he's doing all of these things. And when we really, really get deeply into our own spirituality and our own concept of what spirit means, we begin to understand that God isn't out there. One of the spirits that I worked with when I had a course in spiritual development class said, "Think of yourself as a corpuscle in the body of God."
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
When you realize, and one of the basic truths, I think, of Christianity is that God, and maybe Judaism too, is that God is omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient.
Yes.
And if God is all-powerful, and if he's everywhere at once, and he's all-knowing, then the concept that there's a little bit of God in us is just backwards. We are all inside God. If God is everywhere, and we are in that everywhere, we've got to be inside God.
Absolutely. Every aspect of creation, every being, we are all one, and God is within us as we are within God.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So with that kind of a sense of you're always at home, because you are within the being and a part of the being that is part of everything. It's so amazing.
It is amazing. What else is amazing to me, which is part of the human experience, is that we live in this dualistic world where there is a tendency for a lot of us to separate from Source through external things of this world, if you will, that we attach ourselves to so that we distance ourselves from our spirit and from the nourishment that's always available to us.
Thank you. That is such an important thing to consider, that we are always in touch even when we think we're not.
Right.
At the times of most despair, we have access that we don't even know about.
At those points, we are probably closer to God than we could ever conceive of.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think the more complicated we try to make it, the further we push ourselves away from true spirituality.
Yeah, it's all really very simple. And, I think that using a common sense approach to life and keeping it simple is going to serve a person well, so that they do not have to complicate the bejesus out of things, so that they can lead a happy and carefree life and become in touch with greater understandings that lie within. All knowledge and wisdom comes from within or from our experience. But we have this fountain of knowledge within us that can just bubble up when we are in touch with our spirits. And that's what's been amazing to me as I've been doing my writing and have written about things that I'd never learned in this life that have been affirmed by mentors who said, yes, that's, you're right on. And, I didn't
even
question.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even question.
Well, it takes something that is very hard for a lot of people to do, and that simple act is surrender.
Yes. It's very elusive, isn't it?
It is indeed, and it's hard to define. As a matter of fact, the harder we try to define things, the more they slip away from us. Someone's very wise, and I swear I cannot remember who said it, but they said defining spirituality is like dissecting a cat to try to locate its purr.
Well, that's why I entitled my memoirs Think With My Heart, because I used to go to my head for the answers, and all answers lie within. And when I think with my heart and align with a heart-centered the heart-centered part of my being, which is what I am. I am not a human doing. I'm a human being. When I align with that, then I am automatically surrendering. All I have to do is think with my heart.
That's good. That's very good. So as you surrender to what, your muse, to your sense of being in touch with something greater than yourself, how do you go about writing?
I believe that I channel when I write. I don't think. I just let my keys go over the keyboard. It comes from a place of inspiration, and I type what comes to me. Now, unlike you, I'm not aware that I have muses, but certainly I'm not. I'm starting to work with angels, and I do believe that what is coming to me is not coming from my head. It's coming to me from greater sources of awareness than and from my higher self, if you will. But it's not coming from my ego. It's not coming from my intellect.
Mm-hmm. You know, something just occurred to me. Aristotle is revered by intellectuals and is thought of as a very intellectual person. But I read somewhere that he thought, he believed that that our true brain was in the heart.
Wow,
I found that very, very powerful. It resonates deeply within you, huh?
Yes, it sure does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I spent so much of my life in my head trying to figure out what the right thing to do was, and always making, and I'm saying right, quote unquote, and making the quote unquote wrong actions. Well, I believe there are no mistakes because I believe it's all served the good, which has brought me to my today, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in terms of right and wrong, I'm getting stuck in duality and judgment once again and mired down with shit, you know. But
Oh, boy.
But, you know.
Don't we know?
Yeah. but the point is that when I surrender to my heart space and to what is loving, and to what is the next best thing that I can do, then I can do no quote-unquote wrong. I believe that I put out there to the universe my prayers in the form of let it be this or something better, and may it serve the highest good for all. So be it, thank you. You know.
Yes. Well, as you know, I'm in the middle. I'm quite in the middle of doing a second edition of my book, and it became pretty clear to me that I had not gone in depth too much in the amazing experiences that I went through, and as just before the show began, I was given something to add. And there was a session where the client that I was taking into another lifetime to work on the karma had encountered a horrible, just a dreadful, pointless, I felt, lifetime, where he, in the dark ages, where where he was dragging a plow because he couldn't afford an ox, and he was dragging a plow back and forth through a field, and his wife had died, and his children had been captured by, kidnapped by slavers, and it just seemed the absolute epitome, the depth of the terrible things that could happen to a person. And I wondered what in the world was going on, because I kind of am an observer of these things, and I was scared to death of what this guy was going to do to me when he got back, you know, that I had taken him into this horrible place. And his response was, that was the most profound experience he'd ever had in his life. And after he left, I was sitting there, and in my stupidity, in my ego, you know, I'm wishing, why didn't it turn out right? Why? Well, this was like the first time that spirit hadn't really reworked the whole history of the thing and made it turn out wonderful. And then, all of a sudden, way from deep within, came a little voice saying, things never really go wrong when spirit is in charge.
How true. How true.
But it's so hard for us to give in and just let spirit take over.
Yeah. Well, you took me on a journey to one particular lifetime where something very unpleasant happened, that, you know, if it was happening to me in my current reality, it would have been absolutely frightening, a violent act. And I was totally at peace. I was just witness to it.
Uh-huh.
It was like a moment where I realized that one of my current, more recent forms of dysfunction was created through this lifetime of shame that I had, where I'd been a prostitute. But what you did is you took me back to the point before I was viciously raped. And let me move forward in time first and then backward in time. When I was viciously raped, what happened was my family disowned me and shamed me, blamed me for the rape. I was shunned by the village, and I went off to London and became a prostitute, where I sold my body and lived in a life of degradation. That's how I perceived it. And in this life, I acted it out through inappropriate sexual encounters, compulsive sexual encounters, that I could not let go of. But what you did for me is that you rewrote history in that life. You took me back to the point before the rape, and spirit within you directed me to go in a different direction so that the rape never occurred. And then I had a happy, fulfilling life without the shame. And the total effect of that was, it didn't happen immediately, but it was like these vibrations of release coming to me in my current life, whereby I became released from that compulsive behavior and from my shame, which is what perpetuated it.
That was an honor. That was a true honor. And what again had to happen was your surrender to the truth, and the complete embodiment of the new reality, and the power that you had, that you're living with now, is evidence of that to me.
Yeah. Yes.
That you have actually surrendered, you've accepted it as that greater, more beautiful reality, and that you are totally entitled.
Yeah.
To live with the freedom of that. And that is what it's all about.
It's what I'd always desired for myself, and I believe that the desire would manifest. but I was trying to think myself out of the situation. I was, even though I was told that I needed to surrender, I couldn't figure out how to do it. And that was the problem. I was trying to figure it out. What I needed to do was come to a place of acceptance that I'm not alone, that there is this tremendous power in the universe that lies within me, and all I needed to do was embrace that and take it one step at a time and become free. And to me, freedom was not just stopping the behavior, was becoming free from the desire. Because I believe it's possible to totally recover from any addiction, which is probably somewhat contrary to current thinking about addictions and how they're presented in 12-step programs whereby a person is always recovering. I believe you can recover.
Absolutely. I'm totally convinced of that, and I suspect that where most of these so-called recovery programs go wrong is that they stress denial of your basic instincts without replacing it. I mean, God. Really, nature abhors a vacuum. So when you take something away, you need to replace that hole in the being with something better.
Well, I think perhaps what I've observed through my years of involvement with those programs. Even though they talk in terms of higher power instead of God and suggest that you conceive of your own form of higher power, there seems to be an implicit suggestion that God is somewhere out there greater than yourself and not that that power is within you. And that was the epitome for me of, you know, that was the big aha moment.
That's good. That is taking your power. And when you do take your power, you are responsible for yourself. And
That's good. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah.
Yeah, and once in a while we have to forgive ourselves for a lapse or two, and we need to say, you know, as the end of Some Like It Hot this guy said nobody's perfect.
That's right, and we need to accept that that is our state as humans, that we are not perfect. Our souls are but they're not complete in any one lifetime.
I read somewhere that the intercontinental flights, the big airlines, that those airplanes are off course 85% of the time.
Oh my God! Yeah, yeah.
Captain's job is to constantly correct and get it back on course.
Yeah, yeah. Well, isn't that our job, too? I think of the poem that was made into a song called Invictus, where the closing line is, I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul. And so as captains, we constantly need to redirect to get ourselves back on course, as I see it.
Exactly. Exactly. And I absolutely love the little GPS thing when you
yeah.
take a mistake. Recalculate.
Yeah. Well, I love what you said about forgiveness, because that's a piece that a lot of people forget. And, you know, they're quite frequently looking for forgiveness from others and making their so-called amends to others. But I think at the top of the list, we need to place ourselves, because we're our own harshest critics. And until we can come to truly love ourselves, which means self-forgiveness, as a process of getting to that core, peeling back the layers of the onion to our pure essence, we need
yeah.
to place ourselves at the top of the list and forgive ourselves and embrace our beings.
Yes, yes. I agree. I totally agree. And sometimes it happens only in the last breath.
Yes. Yes.
But it doesn't matter when it happens, just so it happens.
Right, right, right. Well, it's lovely when it happens, so that you can be free to live the rest of your life happy and relatively carefree. And my message to people is that you can do this. You don't need to wait till the last breath. You can wake up today. You can change the course of your life today. You can become free today.
And there you go. And here you are, right in the essence of your spirituality, David.
Mm-hmm.
There you are, right in the essence of your spirituality. It
mm-hmm.
just popped out of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's. I understand that you have a group that meets in your home. Could you
yes,
talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I call it Free Spirits because I believe that's what we all are at our core. A lot of us take on various forms of bondage that I referred to earlier as attachments to things of this world, people, places, and things. You know, and for me, some of those things have been drugs, alcohol, codependent relationships, sex, poor nutrition, compulsive exercise, religiosity, all kinds of things that really did not serve my spirit. And so what we do is we meet, and sometimes we take turns facilitating sessions and bring a lesson to the group, which we all reflect on. And other times when somebody does not take on that assignment, everybody raises a topic, and we have an opportunity to go around and everybody shares, because there are usually several topics on the table. And we all get a chance to double dip, so that if there are further insights that occur when somebody else has been talking, we can share those as well. And it really is a wonderful opportunity to further grow. Because, you know, life is not meant to be stagnant. We are works in progress, and we have the opportunity to grow each step of the way. One never stops learning. If
exactly.
one is, you need to be open, though.
Don't you, though? That is the basis of everything, is that openness. And there are times when we are more open and less open, and there are times when we are angry about something, or there are times when we close ourselves off from what we really know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
and that's okay.
This is life. This is life. This is the seasons. This is everything changing, everything growing, or the cyclical kind of thing. The the spiral I think of instead of the circle, the spiral. We never come back to exactly where we were. We come back to a general area, but with much more wisdom and much more experience behind us, you know?
Yes. And whether or not we're self-motivated to grow, we all do grow. There is no stagnant in life because we're shaped even at a dream level. Even if we tend to perpetuate the same kind of behaviors that seemingly keep us stuck in our conscious awareness, we do continue to grow. But the larger issue is, what do we do with what we learn? We need to take action to continue to evolve.
This is true. And that is why this group of yours is so valuable, is because you feed off each other and you nourish each other and you build the ideas and the concepts and the belief and the truth by establishing an atmosphere for growing.
There's no guru. You know, I've heard it said that when the student is ready, the teacher appears, but I add the question is, who's the student and who's the teacher? Because I can learn from everyone. I learn from my mentors, and they learn from me.
Exactly. And as soon as you accept that, you're just one step ahead in this game that we call life.
Yeah,
it's funny, but we go back sometimes. Do you go back to something that you wrote a few years ago, and you see the truth of that, and then sometimes you see the germ of truth of it, and sometimes you see where it led to a greater truth that you now enjoy and understand.
Mm-hmm. And you can also look back at those points when you'd been struggling, which none of us need to do. None of us need to do that. And it's wonderful to reflect on growth that's happened. It's wonderful to look back on times when there were those aha moments that have paved the way to greater illumination. And, you know, it's wonderful to know that you can continue to evolve and that there is no status quo unless we accept that.
Absolutely. It's a very powerful thing when you realize that you are simply part of something. In some ways you have to let go of the ego a bit in many, many ways in order to grow. And in letting go of that ego, we accept a greater sense of being.
Well, the ego serves the purpose of helping us survive. But after years of saying something such as "I survive," I recognize that there's something better, and that is thriving. And so in order for me to do that, I do need to let go of the ego and surrender to spirit. That's where my sustenance comes from. That's where my growth comes from. That's where my being lies. And that's what unites us all, you know, at a core level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it. So as we do grow, as we do reach higher, and you know, in math there are axioms We think of something as an axiom, and it turns out that it's just a corollary in a greater axiom. And it's a smaller truth within a greater truth. And the smaller truth doesn't, it may not always work, whereas the greater truth will work far beyond on a higher level. And a broader circumstances. Einstein discovered that parallel lines meet way out in space somewhere. So you think of parallel lines as that's a law, that's something that never changes, but the further it goes out into space, it finally they do change and they do meet. So this might be an allegory in some way of that our separateness, if we push it far enough, if we reach far out into the greater reality, that separation melds together.
That's the thought that came to me as you were talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is no separation. We're the only ones that can limit ourselves, and there's no need to do that.
No, this is true, absolutely true. The greatest limitations we have are the ones we place upon ourselves.
Yeah.
So where do you think you might be headed?
Well, I have this inner sense that my series of books are going to make a profound impact. I believe I'm headed towards an agent that will push me in the direction of a publisher who can get my books out, which I dedicate to all adult children who deserve a chance to not take life so seriously. And life is meant to be about joy. It's meant to be about love and freedom and peace and beauty and harmony and all of those qualities that we desire to possess. And I just have so much more faith in myself today. And I used to have a sign above my desk. I don't know what's happened to it, but it said, never quit. And I would turn that around today into something like always persevere. I just have enough faith in myself that I know that I'm going to live a life beyond my wildest dreams, however that may manifest. And I believe that I have a series of books that will really wake people up to their spirits, and it will do that in a joyful manner. So that's what I see for myself down the road.
Good. And the group that you're working with, can you see that expanding by any chance? Can you see it going onto the internet or into personal appearances anywhere?
Yeah, I can. I believe that traditional religion is going to evolve into something different in the future, and I think that when we meet together and share ideas, as Jesus said, we're all supposed to be disciples. And I believe that we can all learn from each other, and that we are fellow ships that are sailing across tranquil waters until we reach another shore, which is there are so many realities available to us out there. They're just multitudinous. Mm-hmm. Just multitudinous.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So I can definitely see it growing. I've had a number of people express interest in it, but I want to keep the group small. But we can spawn off other groups, you know? And we could do it on the internet. I mean, right now I do my radio show, which is a form of service, and I believe we're all in this life to do service as you do with your show. There's no profit involved, and that's okay. Because what I'm doing is I'm spreading messages of the joy of spirit that more and more people are becoming receptive to, and more people are hungering for that.
Absolutely. I agree with you totally. How does one connect with your show?
Well, they can go to blogtalkradio.com. /author David Clark, spelled with an E, and they can tune in to any of my shows. They can look at all of the podcasts as they could on your Blog Talk Radio site, and they can choose from them like a menu at the restaurant and listen to whatever show inspires them. And if they see an upcoming show that they want to participate in, there's a call-in number where they can dialogue with the guest, and quite often I have spiritually gifted people on who do free readings of various sorts, and so there's the opportunity to do that, or to dialogue with a guest that is in a show such as the one that we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a website?
I do. I have two websites. There's authordavidclark.com, and again, that's C-L-A-R-K-E. And then there is freespiritbroadcasting.com, which also archives my radio shows.
Excellent. Okay. Are you open to email or to blogging or anything like that?
Sure. What I would suggest, the easiest way to get in touch with me is to go to one of those websites, and there is a contact phone number. There you can get an email to me through those sites, and that way you don't need to be bogged down with another email address.
That's great. Okay. That sounds terrific. Well, I really feel that that you have you've been through the wars, so to speak. You have paid your dues. You've suffered and grown and come to realizations and have gained knowledge and information that I think would be very valuable to many, many people out in the world. And I just wondered if you had just a minute to reach out to the people in the audience and tell them something special, what would you say to them?
Embrace yourself. Rejoice. Peace be still.
That sounds pretty wonderful, and I would expand that to groups, and I would expand that to hopefully sending out peace and harmony and balance to those who are agitating in this world. And how do you address that?
Well, we're all in it together. You know, it is so important to not only be in this life for yourself, although you need to take care of yourself as your number one priority, body, mind, and spirit, but to be of service to others. And
well,
you can do that once.
We ran out of time.
That happened.
It certainly does. I think you ended on a perfect note, and I'm just absolutely happy that we had this little time together.
Me too, Mary. Thank you so much.
Stay in touch.
Okay, will do. You take good care.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.